I'm Dr. Rachel Monades, and when I need tech help, these are my go-to guys.
You are listening to Tom and Mike, TOSA's Talking Tech. Subscribe on iTunes today. Just search TOSA's Talking Tech in the iTunes store.
Welcome to TOSA's Talking Tech, your source for talk about educational technology, tech tips and tricks, and the changing face of education in the Bassett Unified School District and beyond. Here are your hosts, Michael Jeffcott and Tom Covington.
All right, welcome to episode 6 of TOSA's Talking Tech. My name is Tom Covington.
And I'm Michael Jeffcott, one of the technology integration specialists here at Bassett Unified School District.
And today, I think we're going to be talking about the last letter in our SAMR model, which is R for redefinition.
Yeah, this is last in a four-part series we've been doing on SAMR. Last episode, we did kind of a recap of substitution, augmentation, and then worked our way to modification. I thought it'd be a great idea to do the same thing on our way up to redefinition.
If you're just joining us for the first time, the SAMR model was created by Dr. Ruben Puentedura, and it's basically the hierarchy of how you're using technology in the classroom. And you're going to hear the different levels of that hierarchy right now when we go through them. But like Mike said before, they're really simple. S stands for substitution, A stands for augmentation, M stands for modification, and R stands for redefinition. And that's of the task that you're doing with the technology.
So we'll take a routine assignment often given in a classroom. For this one, I'm going to use reading informative texts.
Okay.
And so normally a teacher gives out a textbook, students are reading, traditional classroom setting. With the SAMR, to integrate some technology substitution, you could have that same article, but you can have it online on a mobile device. Task has not changed. The instructor is just now using technology to deliver the text.
Okay, and that substitution, in that case, is not connected to any better results than you would have gotten without the technology. You're just substituting one for the other.
Yeah. Moving up the hierarchy, enhancing it a bit, augmentation. Take that same assignment, reading informative text. Again, reading the same informative article online, but adding a function to the lesson with technology. Many different apps today offer this type of functionality. Tom highlighted one on our last podcast called Liquid Text.
That's right. I like that app.
Really powerful app. In this case, the students would be able to annotate their text as they are reading and share with others digitally. They are enhancing their ability to interact with the article over a simple analog paper version textbook from the original assignment.
So that enhancement piece, that is what makes it augmentation and not substitution, is that there's an increased functionality.
Yep.
You would expect a better result academically from the student when they go and they use the liquid text in the augmentation level of SAMR.
And next up in the SAMR model, modification, this is where we make our jump. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to transform that technology into it. And at the modification level, that same assignment, teachers and students are redesigning this assignment. An example of this could be students creating a group blog discussing the article. They could bring in audio, video, and text into a discussion to back up their opinion. And at this level, the blog could also be shared outside of the classroom, bring in other classrooms or schools.
Yeah, that's the part of modification, that collaborative piece that takes it one step beyond, that really transforms that learning into more of a collaborative group effort. That's what makes that modification instead of augmentation.
And the final level of SAMR, redefinition, this is where you're going big time with technology. This is something that at the final level, the student teachers are creating a task that would be inconceivable at any of the other levels of SAMR. A great model of this, we actually saw at an executive briefing Tom and I went to last March at Cupertino at the Apple headquarters. And they have a piece of software called iBooks Author. And it allows students and teachers to create their own digital textbooks. The software allowed the students to incorporate 3D models, from templates provided by the software, drag and drop formative assessments into the text after they've read it to test their own classmates. They can upload the finished product, e-publish their book. They can send it out to other schools, to other districts for download. Their finished product is a really powerful piece of software.
Yeah, and what makes that a redefinition piece is that redefinition piece, you know, it's not, it is at the top of the hierarchy, but because you can get there doesn't mean that you like win or that you're doing it right only if you reach redefinition. Just like Bloom's taxonomy, there are going to be times where substitution and augmentation are what's needed in your lesson that day. So while redefinition is what we're striving to do when we integrate technology, it's not, I need to hit that every day.
Yeah, it's, you really got to look at your goals. What are your learning goals for your students? What do you want them to achieve? Are they reaching it? If substitution works and they understand the standard, great, you're done. If you need more, you move up the SAMR model until you reach their goals.
Yeah, and when I was looking online researching, Matt Miller has a nice site called, I think it's like How to Get Rid of the Textbook. I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
And he calls redefinition the holy grail. That if you get there, we're providing learning that couldn't have happened a decade ago, or in some cases, even a year ago, because the technology is moving that quickly. This is really talking about when you get to redefinition, just a transformation of the way that students are learning and teachers are teaching. We mentioned before on the SAMR model how at the substitution and augmentation level, there is a more teacher-centered focus within the classroom. Teachers are driving instruction. Students are following direction from the teacher. Teacher-driven students kind of, I don't want to say passively get it, but they're not taking as big a role. When you get to that transformation and modification and redefinition, the students have the learning in their own hands. They're doing these project-based learning where it's a constant inquiry process and they're really taking charge of their own learning. They have to formulate new ways to get at information on their own that really helps them not only understand the subject and the and the level and the standards taught, but they have built skills to enable them to get to that level as well. And it's those skills that were those 21st century skills that are going to help them out, not only within your class, but in their other classes when they're doing projects like this as well.
Yeah, really good point, Tom. Definitely with redefinition, you are that teacher on the side. You are no longer direct instruction. You are the teacher. The students are doing the creating.
Yeah.
And the lesson.
So Matt Miller, that website again, I'm going to go through a couple of these examples because we see them about how to reach the redefinition level. So one of the big ways that he does is having his students do a public blog. You know, if you think about it, if you're having your students write a journal or, you know, even like a response or a literary analysis journal, they're already blogging.
Yeah.
It's just nobody sees it. And if you can transform and put that blog into a public space where that student can receive feedback and interaction and collaboration, that's really upping the SAMR right there.
And collaboration is a huge part of redefinition.
Yes, it is. So there's other things like Mike was talking about, an ebook author. Creating that ebook, it opens up the student's work to a global audience. Like he was saying, something that was previously either not very easy to do or you couldn't do through technology. The iBooks author or other ebook authors online really open up the world of publishing to students to get their ideas out there and to get, you know, many of it. You can do it in a PBF or an EPUB format, but many of them are free. So we've never been at a point in education where something was this easy to publish and get out.
And here's a big one we're getting into ourselves. You've way ahead of me on this, but Twitter, using that as a way to communicate, having our students communicate with Twitter.
Yep.
Interesting. A normal standard is 140 characters with Twitter. Mm-hmm. And heard recently they're opening it up to 10,000 characters. Not sure how I feel about that. That's a lot.
Yeah, I think part of the beauty of Twitter was the brevity, the short, you know, you had to get your thoughts down to 140 characters. And if you want to be retweeted, it's really got to be about 120 or 100. Mm-hmm. So having, you know, the cognitive ability to take your big idea of what you're thinking and put it into 100 characters, That's some metacognition right there. That's some really big thinking.
And who has time nowadays to read something more than 140 characters?
That's why Twitter is so popular, because it's short, it's to the point, and you know, if you want to read more, there's links. So
yeah.
Another big one that we've seen high on the SAMR model, that redefinition, is sketchnoting. Matt Miller at that website has some examples on there of sketchnoting. So go ahead and check those out. But, you know, it's students drawing what's happening as it's going on. You're sketching visual notes. I've used it in my classroom before when I've had students take notes during a couple of speeches, either during Macbeth or what was the other, Hamlet, when we were doing it, the Caesar speeches, you know, teaching English. It's easy to say, okay, stop taking actual notes and draw what's going on, draw what you're seeing, what the person's feeling, see if you can get beyond just the words on the page. And, you know, that really ups that rigor and ups that, if you do it with technology, very powerful in transforming their learning.
And the fact that they can keep these notes, share them later,
yes,
go back to them, change them, edit them, all digitally, is just really powerful in redefinition, especially that sharing aspect. Another one we've seen is Nearpod. And we saw this at a few districts we've been to. Powerful in the classroom, getting the entire class together using Nearpod, sharing out what they're creating.
The presenter in Nearpod controls their presentation in a way that isn't really like a standard PowerPoint. And the good thing about Nearpod is it's free. There's a huge Nearpod community online at nearpod.com. They have some lessons in there, and it's like a teachers pay teachers thing where you could pay, you know, a buck or two for some of these lessons and implement them right into your classroom. Or they have some samples that you can use on the site and get ideas from and then create your own. But, I mean, the digital presentations are sent out to the students, and the teacher can control what the student sees on that device. And then the teacher or the students interact and respond to the presentation. And the teacher, I mean, that's instant progress monitoring. So Nearpod is another way to get that, you know, redefinition level to hit that.
And there's several apps that do this. I can think of Prezi.
Prezi is
you can do that. Prezi. You can collaborate with your students and push out a presentation to them, and they can modify it with you, and you can check in with them, and they can present from your presentation.
I think that's all we have on SAMR for today. We just, you know, barely nicked the surface on SAMR. There's a lot of great readings out there. There's a lot of great lesson plans that are examples at each of the levels. And we have a list of at least, I don't know, 5 or 10 websites that we use to research that we'll put up on our show notes. And you can go and take a look at those yourself. And today, in our Before You Ticket segment, we're going to be going over the changeover from our Microsoft Exchange server to our Microsoft 365 accounts.
Yeah, many people had some issues back in November, December, when we went over and made that switch with email. A lot of our dedicated teachers that have their actual district email on their phone or mobile device suddenly didn't have it and couldn't get their emails anymore.
We're going to take you through the process if you're still having problems of how to make sure that that's getting on your iOS device seamlessly now. And part of that is our change in our email address. We went from a bassett.k12.ca.us, which is a mouthful to both speak and it's type. Hard to type at times, to bassettusd.org.
Much nicer.
Cleaner, easy to type, easy to give out. And in that change, and when we moved over, we need to do a couple things within our email account to make sure that our iOS devices, our iPad, our iPhone, are still able to access that email account.
And believe it or not, you have to completely delete the old account to get the new one to work.
You all your stuff's still going to be there.
Yeah.
You don't need to worry about that. But
don't panic.
One of the first ones. So
with a mobile device, iOS, you're going to go into your settings. You're going to go down to your mail, contacts, and calendar. And within there, you're going to you're going to take your old account out first. So find the one that says Exchange.
Yep.
And delete it, your work one. A lot of people have their personal on there also, but you want to delete your work exchange account. Once you've done that,
you're going to go ahead and add a new account.
Yep. And the nice thing about adding an account nowadays, the settings are done for you.
Yeah, you don't have to enter the server, or I remember in the past having to enter the POP or the IMAP. Oh, God, it was so horrible. Now it's just I put in my email and the password, and it does everything for me. It's nice.
It finds all your settings.
Yep.
It's really nice. So just go ahead, put in your new username, well, your same username with bassettusd.org, and then your district email password, and it will find all your settings and set up that account, and magically all those former emails will download for you to use, and you'll be all set to go. It's really easy, clean fix.
Yep. It's as easy as putting your email address and password in one more time. So make sure that you get that done if you're still having problems on your iOS devices. We'll come back probably in our next one and talk about Android devices and how to get those restarted, but it's going to be almost the same process.
Yeah, very similar. Delete that old one and just re-enter a new one with the new exchange.
And then once again, if you're still having problems adding that or something's not coming out right, we went over email password tips in our episode 5, making sure we can get and access our email address. Make sure that your caps lock is off. Make sure it's the right password, all that good stuff. And only then, if you're still having problems, go ahead and submit that tech ticket so somebody can come out and see what's happening with that device. Okay, and we're going to move on to our tech tips for today. And, you know, we talked a little about Twitter in when we were talking about our Xamarin discussion. And I'm going to give a couple of Twitter tips. We both recently, I don't want to say too new, because I've had an account for a while, but I haven't really been very active on it. It was more of a passive, hey, I'm just here to look thing.
It was our personal account.
Yeah, our personal
account. So we both set up our own accounts for work.
Since we're Tech-tosis and helping other people with tech, we figure we got to be along that leading edge and trying to figure out a whole different line of communication and really get out there and see what's available.
So, Tom, you are now at TechTom, BUSD.
Yes, and your new Twitter handle is at TechMike, BUSD. And those are our professional Twitter accounts that we will be using with all of our technology specialist-created content. And one of the big things that we learned real quick was about Twitter networking. And Twitter networking is nice because it can connect you to a whole bunch of different people that can be a couple miles away to all the way across the country to half a world away. A lot of it, you can share ideas and, you know, really talk about the tech that's revolutionizing your classroom. Have that, you know, that PLC, that professional learning community, expand to even bigger circles than just who's at your sites.
Yeah, and one of our roles as TOSAs, or specialists, is to stay current, to do that research, and Twitter's just a really nice way to do that.
So the first thing I did, being a nerdy tech TOSA, is I went online and looked at how to maximize your Twitter profile to really make sure that you're getting the most out of it. And so I have a couple tips for everybody. The first one is make sure that you have a recognizable brand in your photo or in your header. These are both things that you can customize. You don't want to be that Twitter egg forever. Put a nice picture of yourself or some branding that you have and make sure that people can see who you are and where you're working. Both Mike and I have our pictures in there, and we have our TOSAs Talking Tech logo across our headers. So, you know, when you go and you visit and you say, hey, who is this guy? Right there, you could see that, you know, we're part of the TOSAs Talking Tech podcast. The next thing is you want an accurate and a descriptive bio. Since this is mainly for our professional use, I have some professional accolades or things that I have done, including my current job, which is a tech TOSA. It's important to let people know what you're doing and also where you're at. Make sure you fill in that location part. It's nice to, when I look at my Twitter followers and following, to see where they're all from and all these different experiences. Kind of great. Next, if you have a website, make sure your link is in there. Okay, this is all about promotion. And nobody sells you as good as you.
Yeah.
So make sure that you're in there and you're self-promoting. Get that web link in. Ours is in. It's bassetusd.org/edtosas. So it's right in there. You can go to our site. You can look at some of our screencasts, some of our podcasts. Everything's accessible through there. And I heard a great analogy. I think it was from another podcast that we listened to called Check This Out by Ryan and Brian. He's talking about your Twitter feed is like a garden that you need to prune regularly. If you see that there's stuff in your feed that you're just skimming over and not reading, and it's constantly coming up from the same people, you know what? Maybe it's time to prune that follower or stop following them, especially if they're not providing the content that you need. I know that as soon as I got on Twitter, I was like, ooh, people are following me, and ooh, I want to follow all these people. But as I was scrolling through my Twitter feed sometimes, it was like, okay, I need to get to content that I really want. And all this stuff kind of gets in the way. So really pare down that list of people or organizations that you follow to make sure that that Twitter feed is working the best for you in the aspect that you want it to. So this is our work Twitter feeds. We want to make sure that, you know, all the stuff on there either pertains to work or is furthering our education as TOSAs.
I totally agree with you, Tom. Some of these I wanted to follow just filled up my feed so much. I couldn't get through what I wanted to get through. And it's like, oh, sorry.
It's like, I got to cut you, man.
It's too full.
It hurts. And yeah, I may like Nerdist, but Jesus, they have 35, 40 pod or, you know, 40 things a day.
Posting every hour.
Yeah. So, you know, make sure that your feed is usable to you. It's fully customizable. If you're seeing something you don't like, get rid of it. And that leads me right into the next one is beware of spam. If you find yourself saying, wow, that, you know, that person or that organization never puts out anything that I really like to read, well, that's a little warning that, hey, are you putting out things that people are going to want to read too? So make sure that you're not just not, you know, endlessly spamming your Twitter, because then people are going to start unfollowing you.
Yeah, somebody gets really overly excited over something really tiny that you shared.
Yeah.
And they want you to follow them. Yeah, that's probably not
a
great one to follow.
Nope. I had to take a step back and relearn was using hashtags. You know, when I first started using hashtags is like a keyword. It's like, hey, we're talking about this. And some people, not any of the people that I follow, because I do prune my Twitter feed very well, but they'll throw 5 or 6 hashtags in one tweet, and it's more hashtag than tweet. And that's not good. You should only have 1, maybe 2 hashtags at the most to really hone down and categorize what you're talking about. If you have more than 2 hashtags, it's probably spam. So you really want to, you know, critically think about what you're putting out there and hone it down to that 1 or 2 hashtag. About using it, just a couple of stats that I was thought were pretty interesting. Photos are twice as popular as just word tweets. Everybody likes, you know, that visual imagery. And the best time to tweet is in the morning before people wake up, so that, you know, because a lot of people check their Twitter feed early in the morning. And then the second popular time is during primetime TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are either texting about primetime TV or scrolling through their feeds on commercials. So it's a really good time to put content out if you want it seen fairly quickly. I thought that was pretty interesting. Most Twitter feeds come with, if you're looking on a, not a mobile device, but on a computer, they'll have trending hashtags. So if you really want to get out there and want some exposure, a couple tweets about stuff that's trending can get you maybe a couple more followers.
Yeah, unfortunately, unfortunately, a lot of it is celebrities.
Yeah, yeah. So
stuff
I mean,
that's really not related to what we do.
Yeah. So make sure that, you know, like we have this work account. We need to keep it for work stuff. Yeah. So make sure you're following stuff like that to help that feed work for you.
Job related.
Yep. Asking for a retweet works 25% of the time. So if 12 people see your feed, at least, you know, according to statistics, 3 of them should be retweeting. And then that's increasing your Twitter profile as well and getting what you think and what you feel and the things you're posting out there to reach a whole new audience. So ask for that retweet. And if you're going to ask for a retweet, make sure you try and keep that tweet that you put out under 100 characters. That's important, because if somebody retweets you, they're going to take up characters in the retweet. And they can't retweet you if it's too long. So if you really prune down what you're tweeting about to that 100 characters, that's going to really reassure that you can use Twitter for the maximum, you know, social networking that you can.
Concise and to the point.
Yep. Lastly, if you're going to be on there, be on there. It's got to be a part of what you do. It's got to be a part of, you got to have to make an actual effort to get on and tweet and like things that you think are going to be helpful and retweet things that you think other people who follow you are going to consider helpful. And when you're out there doing that and putting an effort into getting that done, the Twitter will work a little bit better for you as that, you know, educational network and learning tool. So my Twitter tips for today.
So in this episode, we thought we'd also talk about the power of podcasting. It's something we started back in November, and it is really a powerful forum for not only getting out your message out there, what you want to get out there to the community, but it's a tool for you to reflect on your own learning, and it makes you prepare yourself, it makes you do the research, get into, in our case, technology.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you research that technology, figure it out, because you don't want to get on your podcast and not know what you're talking about. You want to be able to tell people exactly what this app does, what this technology does,
how it's going to help them within their classroom, you know, what the students are going to think about it. Yeah, there's a lot of research and critical thinking about our jobs that go into, you know, it's a whole new dimension for us now that we're having to put it out there, podcasts for other people. And I could really see how a public product on with my student work, you know, it's kind of the same thing. The students, when you say, oh, well, we're going to put this in a book, or, oh, this is going to be shared with other classes, they're like, oh, my gosh, I have to make sure it's perfect. And there's a little bit more pressure. And same thing for us as professionals.
Yep.
We're putting this out there, hopefully, to help. I know that, you know, within our district, you know, to get those tech questions answered and some PD and some information out there, but even to a wider audience, we want to make sure that what we're presenting to you, you know, that we're a credible source for information. So yeah, there was some background work that goes into this that reflective piece is really nice.
Yeah, it's nice to have an audience, but to me, more of just making myself sure I'm prepared. I'm doing that research.
Yeah.
I'm staying current for my job and be helpful. It's helpful to me to reflect on my learning.
Yep. And another part of this whole podcasting thing is there's like podcasting community that we can connect to. Now, we've talked about it on our podcast before about
Fall. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And how I went to a podcasting session there. And it was conducted by these two guys. And I'm sitting in the back of the room going, oh, my gosh, they're crazy. You know, full of energy and all over the place. And they're like, okay, ready? We're going to podcast right now for Fall Q. And they started. And I mean, like, I was just like, wow, they're really hitting it. And this is Ryan O'Donnell and
Brian Briggs.
Brian's out of Plumas Lake Elementary District up there. He's one of the IT. I think he's the IT guy in that district. Yeah. And then Ryan O'Donnell doing what we're doing as a TOSA, but up in
Rockland
Unified. Yeah. And seeing their energy and how, you know, they just, okay, let's go, let's roll, and wanting to get stuff out there and teaching. It was really infectious and really got me excited to come back and do some more.
And we had what, one?
We had one podcast. One done? In the can, ready to go when I went to that one. So I came back from Fall Q, and I'm like, Mike, we got to do this. Mike, let's go. And Mike's like, okay. What are you doing? Like, your pants on fire? Calm down. And I was just fired up. And, it, you know, their energy at that Fall Q session was infectious. And so, you know, of course, the first thing I do is I reach out. I said, okay, hey, you guys are doing great work. This is what we're trying to do. Any suggestions or tips? And, you know, sit around, talk, and, you know, do the whole community learning thing.
You know, we got a shout out.
Yeah.
I was doing my research on the way to work, which is so powerful about podcasting. You don't have to be sitting at a desk or anything. You can have it on your phone, whatever. Download those podcasts and subscribe.
Uh-huh.
And I had it going in the car, sitting on that freeway in traffic. And all of a sudden I hear the boys at Bassett Unified and their podcast. And I was, wait a minute, that's us.
Yeah.
They're talking about us. And I almost went in the other lane. It was crazy. I was like, oh, Tom didn't even tell me. I get to work Tom walks in. I say, Tom, you didn't tell me anything about this.
And I'm looking at Mike. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's got this big smile on his face. He's like, you haven't heard? You haven't heard? And I'm like, oh my God, are we getting fired?
Check this out. Gave us a shout out.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, what? It took me a minute to process. And
put it on the speaker for him.
Yeah. He plugs his phone into the speaker. He's like, okay, check this out. I know where it's at. And he queued it up. And, you know, it went through. And, you know, there's about a minute little, you know, hey, guys at Bassett Unified. And I was like, oh my gosh, oh my God. You know, I was jumping up and down all excited in the room.
That was great. Unfortunately, we had training right next door.
Yeah. Yeah. They probably thought we were going crazy, but it was exciting to hear that shout out there. And, you know, as not only part of our research, but as our professional learning community getting out there and really, you know, being a part of the podcasting community, you know, I take that seriously. I have four or five podcasts that I download and listen to either on the way to work or while I'm, you know, out at night walking or doing whatever. And for us to get a shout out and grow and get a shout out from, you know, Ryan and Brian on their Check This Out podcast, you know, it's a very exciting moment for us.
It shows you the power of podcasting.
Yeah.
It really does. Yeah, I mean, you can get out there.
How would two guys from Southern California in a small district like BUSD be known outside of maybe, you know, our little sphere of influence here if it wasn't for the power of this podcasting and Twitter, which, you know, we've connected with Brian Briggs, who's at Bri Briggs, and Ryan O'Donnell, who is at Creative EdTech on Twitter. That community, you know, you want to talk about redefinition in Samar. Yeah. This wouldn't have been possible 10 years ago.
It's getting that message about Bassett on the move out there.
So we're excited to get that shout out. And maybe, hopefully, we're talking about doing a little shared podcasting experience. We want them to come on our show, talk about how the podcasting has helped them in their jobs up north, and we can share about how it's helping the teachers in Bassett Unified here.
Yeah, and it really doesn't take that much of your time. I mean, we spent, what, maybe an hour a week?
Yeah. And prepping
we have a podcast.
Uh-huh.
Tom on the weekends sometimes.
Yep.
Edits the thing away, and we're up on iTunes and live.
Yeah, that was a lot of research. Figuring out how to get up on iTunes and all the little things. But once you're up and running, about an hour a week to reach out and connect to a whole wider community.
It'd be great to get some classes in here, podcasting, and get that going inside Bassett, at least at the high school right now.
Yep, that's what our goal is, hopefully, to get them over here and get a show. Even if it's just a roundtable discussion type thing, to have it recorded and be able to be played back at a later time. Either for that student or even as like a test review, just the limitless
yes.
on the possibilities. Okay. I think our gushing about our shout outs has gone on long enough, but it was very exciting.
Yes, it was.
On our next podcast, we're going to be coming back with something totally new. We're going to have a couple interviews lined up for us about the tech being used here in Bassett Unified. We're going to have an interview with our early literacy specialists who are working as TOSAs here with us. And really highlighting what we're trying to do to really get not only our students, but our teachers and our educational community into the 21st century, you know, especially here at Bassett Unified School District.
I heard we're having admin.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes.
We had that interview with Dr. Menares, the Assistant Superintendent of Educational Services for our district. And to be able to expand and not only to share what's going on here at Bassett Unified, to the teachers, you know, who are hopefully our main audience for this podcast, but even to the wider world so that we can inspire hey, we could do that in our district type of thing. It's only benefiting our students, which is why we're here.
And it's not just us talking about technology. It's
no.
Everyone in this district. Hopefully we can get them a voice and they can talk about what's going on at their sites.
Yep.
And share out.
Sharing and that excitement for not only technology, but education and learning, you know, it becomes infectious and it spreads. And hey, they're doing that. I want to do that too. So as you can tell by the outro music, we have come to the end of episode 6 of TOSA's Talking Tech. We thank you for listening and hope that you're getting many people to subscribe. So may your tech always be working. May your tickets be answered quickly. And may you always remember to save to the cloud frequently. From the Dog Pound at the BIC, this is Tom Covington.
And Michael Jeffcott saying goodbye for now.
get enough of those Tosas Talking Tech? Head over to www.bassettusd.org/edtosas and check out their screencasts on things like Haiku, sign-in, using Dropbox, Outlook tips and tricks, iMovie, screencasts, and more. Want a PD scheduled for your site? Have an idea for a podcast? Or a question about tech you want answered? Email them at edtosas@bassettusd.org. That's edtosas@bassettusd.org. Your compliments, critiques, and questions are always welcome.